When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Girl Stop Playing, a weekly show that empowers Black women to stop playing with their potential so they can live a life that they love. I'm Coriel, your favorite homegirl, and I'm on a mission to help Black women make the money and get the honey. You can have it all as long as you're willing to work. This is the Girl Stop Playing podcast, and I'm your favorite homegirl, Coriel. Here to encourage you to stop playing with your potential and start working for what you want in life and in love. You already know that I'm bringing you the information and the conversations to help you make the money and get the honey. You can have it all as long as you are willing to work. And baby, we got a working woman in the building today that is making the money, got the honey, and is helping you get your honey too. We got Crystal Jordan in the building. Your last name is not Jordan though anymore.
It's Jennings.
Okay, let's put some respect on that. We got Crystal Jennings in the building.
Hello.
Hey, Crystal.
Hey.
I'm happy you're here.
I'm so excited. It's like a long time coming.
I was going to say, it's been a long time coming. So we're going to get into Dear Alpha Female, right? We're going to get into that. But okay. Who is Crystal outside of what you do professionally?
You know what? That's a great question because I had to learn that myself. For a lot of years, I did not know. I didn't know who Crystal was outside of being a mom and an entertainment publicist. And so Crystal is a woman that loves, I love my friends to be happy. I love putting everything I have into friends and family. I'm also a bit of an empath. So I learned that I have to take breaks from certain things because I can get very, very emotionally involved and invested, right? But I think that's also what makes me who I am, just the fact that I really feel deeply for people. It also makes me great at writing, right? But I love my family. I love friends. I want everyone to be in their best, you know, their best self. I want my friends to all find love and have love around them. And not just a relationship love, but just I want them to be in a good space, period. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm always the one trying to check on, making sure that they're okay, making sure that they are in a good space. I love horses. I love riding horses. That's something a passion I was able to rediscover, you know, later in life when I realized, wait a minute, what do I enjoy doing outside of work? And I would say riding horses and being on the beach are my absolute two favorite things.
Riding a horse on the beach.
And
hands
I did
down,
that.
That's you.
I did it.
Cabo?
Turks and Caicos.
Okay.
Horse in the ocean. I did one at Cabo on the beach. I was like, oh my God, I've maximized my pleasure.
Listen, I didn't realize that Mexican horses speak Spanish, baby. That horse was not listening to.
They do.
That was so scary. That was a scary experience.
If you don't ride, see, I have a secret. All horses speak Spanish.
Really?
It's weird. I just feel like.
So an American horse is not going to be any safer for me.
No.
Okay.
They do. And it's funny because I had a horse that would not listen to me. And a trainer and a good friend of mine was Hispanic. And I was like, oh my God. Because he said something to her and she just started listening. And I was like, but I think that they have just a way with horses that, you know, horses respond to energy, which is a good lesson. I think I learned so much about myself through my horse.
So one of the things, I think the very first thing that came out of your mouth was I had to learn who Crystal is. Mm-hmm. And having lived several lives, because I feel like we go through these seasons where in this season, 10 years ago, I was a totally different person than who I am now. What made you feel like you no longer knew who Crystal was?
Well, I think myself, like a lot of women, we tend to get engrossed in caring and nurturing for others, right? So I got married at 20, and I had a baby. So I was in college, I was married, and I had this beautiful little baby girl, and I became mom and wife, right? Crystal, at 20, who didn't even know who she was, became mom and wife and a student. And then she went, and I had another baby, a few years later. So I was a proud wife. And, you know, as a mom, you put everything into those babies. And as a wife, you put everything, into that man. Mm-hmm. And so, and then eventually I started my career. Well, at 31, my marriage ended, right? So I had been married for 11 years. Actually, mm-hmm. we were together for 13, married for 11. So all I really defined myself as was wife, mom, and career, right? And so when I lost a big part of my identity in when I was no longer a wife. And I remember mm-hmm. thinking like, wow, I can't believe that one day this person woke up and basically took away who I am, because that was how I defined myself. So I took that work, that wife crystal, and I put that into work crystal. And so Crystal became married to her work. And I took so much pride. I took the same intensity, right? So at some point I started to burn out and I started to have migraines. I was having migraines every day. Coincidentally, my business was doing the best it ever had. I was in a great place. I was earning more money than I actually thought that I would earn on my own with my own business. I mean, that was something that just happened accidentally. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. But I was so unfulfilled internally. And so when things looked the best on the outside, they were the worst inside, because I really had no explanation of who Crystal was. Crystal got up to serve others, be it her job or her children. Mm-hmm. And she was at no point serving herself. And so that's why I said it. I think it was, like you said, 10 years after. So around 41, I had to totally figure out, like, what do I even like? What do I like to do? Mm-hmm. Who am I outside of Enchanted PR?
Who you are for everybody else.
Or my mom. Yeah, or being mom to Chanel and Stone.
Oh, come on, Stone. I love that name. I feel like that is such a common scenario that so many women find ourselves in, mm-hmm. and for different reasons. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't have my first baby until 35, right. and I still feel like I didn't know anything, mm-hmm. and I was not ready. So mm-hmm. to have to make that transition at 20, mm-hmm. before you have even had time to define who you are, mm-hmm. or mature, or grow into the woman who you could become, I can't imagine that. And so even if it's not becoming a mother at a young age or having a baby at a young age, mm-hmm. it could be when you are doing so well, to your point, I'm doing so well in my career, but something just don't feel good. Like, mm-hmm. something doesn't feel right. And mm-hmm. a lot of times it's those crossroads where we wake up or we look in the mirror and we're like, okay, wait a minute, what am I doing all this for? Right. Who am I really? What is the purpose? And so I love that you can speak to, like, the evolution mm-hmm. of, I recognized all of this, I learned some tough lessons, mm-hmm. and now here I am. So I want to talk about some of these tough lessons.
Okay.
Because you were on the Single Wives Live we did a couple mm-hmm. weeks ago. We're going to do it again, y'all. If you missed it, don't worry, we're going to do it again. But you talked about the fact that you were married the first time. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember exactly what you said, but what you just said right now, he took it away from me. It brought back a memory that I had in that moment mm-hmm. of where it felt like you didn't want the marriage to end. Mm-hmm. That's what I got from the conversation. So is that correct? Can you talk to us about what that looked like?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think it's important for us to acknowledge. A lot of times we've been taught, you know, if somebody doesn't want me or something doesn't want me, I don't want it. It's one of the 48 laws of power, right? Despise what you cannot have. But it's also not something that works for real life. It mm-hmm. works for business and it sounds really cool, but it's also not something that works for real life. And so I was so in love in my marriage. Things weren't perfect. As we know, marriage is never perfect, but I was really, really in love, and we went through some difficult times. And as a result of us going through difficult times, my ex-husband started having an affair. Mm. And I was devastated because you asked me who I was, I'm someone that wants everything to be right for everyone, right? So I had this idea that I was going to have this perfect family, my kids, boy and a girl, dad, perfect, you know, white picket fence dog. We had everything. And all of a sudden, he was involved in an affair, and the way I thought he should get out of the affair, he didn't agree with that, and he did not, and so he decided to end the marriage. And it really did feel like I had given someone else the ability to define me, because I took so much pride in being his wife. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I was heartbroken, and coming from a mother and a grandmother that are like, girl, you better get over that, there was no place to actually just say it's okay to really mourn your marriage being over. And instead of actually mourning it, I just dove into work, right?
You controlled what you could control.
I controlled what I could control. And I did not allow those in my, I was basically a functioning depressive, in a mm-hmm. functioning depressive state, mm-hmm. because I didn't know what to do with all this pain. And I didn't want to, sometimes it felt physical how much pain there was. I mean, this is 13 years. This is the love of my life. Our families are ingratiated, right? Our children don't know anything else. And all of a sudden, one day it's like, it's over.
So when you say your mom said get over it in mm-hmm. terms of the sadness of the divorce, mm-hmm. what was her take on the infidelity? Did she tell you to get over that too?
No, just leave him and get over it.
Okay, leave him and don't look back.
Leave him and don't look back. And mm-hmm. I did. My grandmother, rest her soul, husbands come and go. You'll be fine. You're strong. You're strong. But I did not feel strong at all. You know, I felt like Crystal was just, I didn't know where she was. Mm-hmm. I grew up without my father. So when I got married, he became my sunshine. I remember writing an essay and it was like, this is now like the sunshine of my world. So, and that was dysfunctional, but you don't know it's dysfunctional until mm-hmm. you get out of it or until you know. And so, yeah, I definitely, there was no one in my, I was telling my one of my mentors and my sister, Dr. Jerry Godhigh, like, I wish I had someone like that in my life. Someone that says, it's okay to not be happy about your marriage ending. It's okay to admit that you don't want that. Everyone in my family, they were doing this to help me because mm-hmm. they wanted me to be strong, right? Girl, forget him. He wasn't doing you any good
that
anyway.
That makes you feel like, though, you have to act like that.
I did.
You know, now I have to pretend, like, mm-hmm. forget him, but I'm mm-hmm. crying myself to sleep at night.
I would leave. Coriel, I would leave because I met you years ago when I was probably in this state. And I would come to events, you know, totally made up with celebrity clients. And I would say, I would get in my car and I would cry on the way home because I didn't want to cry in front of my kids. And I couldn't cry to my friends because, girl, you're fine. Your business is
doing
good.
Or that part. You got money. Mm-hmm. You got these celebrities. Mm-hmm. You should be fine. Mm-hmm. And that is what I think social media is making that even worse mm-hmm. because people think that if you got all of these things, mm-hmm. Not that you don't have problems, but I feel that people think that you should get over your problems.
They do.
Like, you got all of this. You shouldn't be complaining about mm-hmm. that. And that is unfair.
If you, and I'll take it a step further, as a woman, we judge each other by how we look, mm-hmm. right? And so I probably look the best because I lost so much weight from being depressed. So I was depressed. I wasn't eating. I was miserable. But I was in this area that kept me in a very high-profile position. And so people thought I was doing amazing. But I was the most miserable inside. And that mm-hmm. came out later, you know, with headaches and migraines that I couldn't get rid of. But I was watching the Wendy Williams docuseries. And I think that opened up an opportunity for us to have this type of conversation. You cannot judge a book by its cover. Mm-hmm. And money and fame and success do not, basically, they are great to hide the mm-hmm. pain, but they don't take away pain.
And they're great to afford mm-hmm. ways to
alleviate
not feel.
Dealing
right,
with it.
Right, that part. So mm-hmm. that is, it's not a good mix. Mm-hmm. Having Absolutely. A whole lot of money and poor mental health, mm-hmm. not a good mix. Mm-hmm. When you talk about, though, the level of pain that you were going yeah. through, that pain, it's all emotion, right? Whether mm-hmm. whether the pain is sadness
right.
or anger, mm-hmm. usually it's still coming from that
same
emotion.
Place, right.
So when we say, oh, the bitter black woman, or you just, you know, the mm-hmm. type of woman that people are talking about on these podcasts, mm-hmm. That woman, mm-hmm. I don't think that we as a society, we don't give her grace Mm-mm. to say and to recognize that she's hurt and she's not just angry. Mm-hmm. And if she is angry, she probably has a reason
well,
to be.
It's a hurt little girl that can't be hurt because weak is worse than being. It's better to be a bitch than to be weak in our culture. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's better to be. And I've had my mentor say, Crystal, you got to find that inner bitch. Mm-hmm. Right. That's what you should do. And that comes from a scared little girl that wants to protect herself. I'm an animal lover, so I know when you look at animals that are sick are the most dangerous. They are the most, animals that are afraid are the most dangerous. I remember I believe God sent my horse to me to teach me about myself. I thought she was mean as hell because she would not do what I want. She wouldn't submit. She was not friendly. She was afraid. And that fear created a bitch, right? But like I said, our culture, we will, as a woman, as a black woman, I was taught you can be mean, But you can never be weak.
Can't be sad.
You can
don't
never be weak.
Cry.
Girl, get up. Get up. My grandma said, you don't have time to sit around and cry. You got them kids to take care of. You got to get up. And so it's funny that the things that we tell our daughters are the same things that later they get penalized
we
for.
We complain about it when you grow up and are displaying the same things that we taught you as a little girl. And it's the same conversation that I've had several times about dating. Because when we're little girls, the only thing that most of us hear is don't bring no babies home, don't have sex, stay away from those boys. And then when you turn 35, everybody says, well, where's your husband?
You're not married, right?
I mean, it makes no sense. So that is the whole point of having these conversations is so that we can teach our daughters or our sons a better way of doing things based on the lessons that we've learned. Because we love talking about these statistics.
But we don't look at why. I was talking to one of my girlfriends today, and I've had this conversation with my guy friends. Even when you talk about men, right, black men in our community, most of them are teaching their daughters to be independent. And I said, you are teaching your daughter to be a woman that you would not want to date. And if a man is not there in the house, you're still teaching because you're always teaching, even if it's intentional or non-intentional. So my father taught me that I couldn't rely on a man because he wasn't there for me. Right. And my girlfriend, whose father was in the house, he constantly taught her, make sure you can take care of yourself. Make sure you can take care of yourself. So those, and we know that when you're young, that is just porous ground. You plant those seeds, that little girl, my daddy said, I always got to be able to take care of myself. So then she gets to 28, 29, 30, and the first thing she knows, I got to take care of myself. And now we tell her, oh, you're an independent black woman. You're going to be single forever. But I'm just doing what I was taught.
That's just following the directions my daddy gave me or didn't give me.
Exactly.
It's literally, I mean, it's literal insanity. The same thing we do to little girls, mothers do to their sons.
Absolutely.
They raise their sons to be the men that they hate.
Like
all of the things that y'all are complaining about, you are grooming your child to do the exact
and
same
men,
thing.
And men are training their boys to be a man that would not deserve their mother. Because when you encourage him to be promiscuous and you use it as a badge of honor, they use it as a tool of success. Don't worry about girls now. Get all the money that you want and you can have all the girls. But he had a mom. So, and we know little boys' first love is their mom. And so that's a dysfunctional relationship that they're taught from the beginning. This is not what I should look for. What I should look for is to have the upper hand so I can have all the girls. And then the moms come along and say, oh, he's got money. My son is cute. He's going to be a heartbreaker. Ma'am.
It's literally speaking. This is what we're speaking over our children. Yeah. So I would love to know what were the lessons that you wanted your children to learn on the other side of your divorce?
It's like we look at it like post-divorce and pre-divorce, almost like, you know, post-Christ coming in after, because it was such a big impact on my kids. My son was 9 and my daughter was 12. That's a really horrible time to go through because they're both coming into their identity as people. And I think the biggest thing that I've wanted them to know is that they don't have to always be right. Because, you know, I have a great relationship with them because I was of the mindset that I had to provide and I had to make this perfect life for them. And when the life became unperfect, they still loved me. And I remember thinking like, well, I don't have, after the divorce, I didn't have the money that their father and his family had. And I thought, they're not going to want to be with me. But the fact that they said, Mom, we want to come with you. Then I was like, oh, wow. You know, they still, so you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect as a mother. And I want them to know that as young adults, they don't have to be perfect. I made a lot of mistakes. Their dad made a lot of mistakes. But you can always pivot. And I think a lot of us don't ever, we feel like we got to be perfect or we're hard on ourselves. And so I'm proud of them, but I always wanted them to know. I was very open, like, Mom didn't know what to do. She thought she did. She had you at 20. And it's okay to say, I need help. It's okay. Not just financial help, but it's okay to say, I don't know what to do with these feelings. Because I went to therapy, and I put them in therapy. Right after the divorce, I had no idea what to tell my kids. And they were my everything. And so I said, I've got to get some help, and I got to put them in some help. They didn't want to go, but I made them go. And I think that it taught them it's okay to need help with my emotions.
My motto is, my sons will not believe they have a strong black mother. Mm-hmm. I am not a strong black woman. I am, help me. I am weak. I am a damsel. Please help me. Yeah. Open the door, pump the gas, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to think that I have it all together, because I don't want you to expect any woman you ever come across to be so strong and have it all together, and then she's weak if she's not.
If she's not able to.
And I think that our mothers did us a disservice. At least, you know, I don't know about your mama, but my mama,
she was
I never saw her cry.
No, she did the best. They did the best they could, but they were taught. We were taught. Our culture was taught.
It all goes back. Mm-hmm. It all goes back to the root. But that's why it's so important for us to be intentional based on the lessons that we've learned, so that we're not just repeating that behavior.
I was dating this guy because I had a I had a long period of dating that was not good, and I just
let's talk about it. After post divorce, what did that look like?
Ooh, for a long time, I didn't date at all because I was afraid. I was afraid of men just after going through such a traumatic experience. But when I did start to date, I didn't know how to date because I got married at 20, and I got married outside of Atlanta. So I was in this horrible dating scene in Atlanta. And I remember going out, you know, and it's...
What years was this?
This was my... A mentor told me not to waste my 30s, but I did. I wasted most of my 30s. So I didn't really start dating until I was almost 40.
Okay.
So I got divorced at 31, 32, and all those good 30 years I wasted being sad and depressed and just hiding.
Look at this camera right here and tell the ladies in their 30s this ain't the time to
ladies, play around. Let me tell you something. Marie told me, girl, don't waste your 30s. And I am telling you all, do not waste your 30s. Figure out how to get healthy and figure out how to love yourself and enjoy you in your 30s. That is the biggest thing I would want to tell women. Like, don't waste that time. I look back and I'm like, girl, you was fine.
You had all those good years.
But, you know, God works it out. He's a good God. But I didn't start dating until I was like 37, 38, really. So look at all the good time.
However, but it wasn't too late, baby.
It wasn't too late. So the husband came later, but first some very horrible experiences and then some good experiences.
Okay.
So, but I remember in particular going out with this guy, and I was working to the point where, cause I work, you know, I'm just, that's just what I define myself as. And I would work, and then I had the kids, and then he expected me to like do all the house stuff as well. And I was like, we're not even married yet. Like, you know, I don't live with you. And he said, well, my mom did it. And I was like, wow, that's the first time I realized that we are teaching our sons incorrectly, right? Mm-hmm. Because my son, now that's one of the reasons I tell my son, mommy didn't have it all together. Because I don't ever want him to expect a woman to be his workhorse. Can I say that again? Like, I don't ever want my son to expect his woman to be the workhorse, because I wasn't that way by choice. It happened. My mother wasn't that way by choice. My grandmother wasn't that way by choice. But this man said to me, well, you can do it all because my mom did it.
Now, what does that look like when y'all aren't living together?
That looked like we needed to be apart.
But did he think you was going to come clean his house? Or like, what did he
thought, because that's what he thought. He thought a woman's purpose was to make sure
Next level right there.
It was. I had never had someone articulate that to me, but I appreciate him for sharing that with me, because I understand that it was because he saw his mother. Mm-hmm.
That's all he knew.
In dysfunction, right? And as a little boy, that was his idea of what perfection was. Most men either idolize their mothers, or, you know, or it's the opposite. But I think I think I called my son, because my son was in college, and I was like, listen to me. Like, I did all that because and he's like, Mama, no. But I think that women need to understand, you're teaching when you're not talking. Kids pick up more on what we do than what we say. So he had been taught that a woman does not need a break. She is able to work, you know, until she's bone tired, and then come home and clean, and then come home and then do some other porn.
And then
porn,
throw it back in the middle of the night.
A porn star in the bed. And if she doesn't do all of that, then she's not worthy, and you have a right to cheat. So I was able to, you know, relieve myself from that situation. But I learned that there were a lot of men that women, so many women say that, you know, men are intimidated. I don't think that the right man is ever intimidated. I think that men are smart enough to know how to push our buttons. So when you have a situation, because women, we tell, especially when you want to find love, you meet a man and you tell him everything you want because you're hoping that he's going to step up to that. And he's listening to everything you said. Mm-hmm. And if he sees you as a wife, he will act accordingly. And if he doesn't, then he's going to play games. And you've given him the playbook. Mm-hmm. So he knows that you probably are an overachiever. For us, you know, what I define as alpha females that are overachievers. And he'll give you some more things to do. Mm-hmm. And I had a girlfriend that was an OBGYN, amazing, had her own practice. And she's like, well, I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to have a threesome. And I was like, do you want to have a threesome? No, but he says, if I don't, he'll leave. Ah, he tapped into the fact that you are a perfectionist and you want to show up and do well in everything that you do. This beautiful sister was trying to go to the sex club. She was doing all this stuff. And I was like, girl, you are a whole OBGYN. That you are amazing. She's like, but he wants a woman that's doing this. She was leaving the practice to go and make sure she cooked.
Girl, what happened with these people? Are they still together?
No.
Did she have a threesome? No, but, she didn't have a threesome.
No, but what I'm telling you is it sounds crazy, but in the minute, because you got to realize, especially right now, the season is ripe for everyone is dumping on career women, right? It's mm-hmm, fun. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you think you're all that because you have that degree, but what about, what do you do in the kitchen? What do you do in the bedroom? And so those of us that are overage, well, I can do it all. Girl, no, sit down.
Please.
He's not the one for you.
Wow.
He's not the one for you, because the one that sees you as his queen and as his wife, he will not be looking to play with you and make you do more for him. He will be looking at how he can make life easier on you.
That part.
And that's when we talk about, you know, how God is good and he comes around. If you just wait and then you do what you're supposed to, you
that
do your
part,
work.
That part.
You must
wait and do the work.
You
because
must
I've
wait.
Talked to therapists and relationship coaches who talk about the fact that they get clients who haven't dated. They've been single for mm-hmm. a decade.
Oh,
but you have done zero
you've
work.
You've done no work.
You've done no work. So a decade later, you're
going
to be making the same bad decisions.
That part. Thank you for saying that. Because I told my goddaughter this weekend, I said, you know, one of the things I would do differently, because I didn't date for probably about 6 years. But when I started, I was emotionally very immature because I was still actually not only was I 6 years behind, but I hadn't been in a relationship that was outside of my marriage. I didn't date since 20.
So, you were a teen,
so I went back and I was an idiot out here because I didn't know. You know, I didn't know. And so it's important that you do the work, and it's important that you don't avoid dating because of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you do, then when you start, that same fear is going to be there, and you're going to run from it, or you're going to make decisions out of desperation
yep.
or out of fear, and those
yep.
are always the wrong decision. But it's interesting that when you find the man that sees you, you have to find the man that sees you as his wife, not the man that you
think
have wanted to
husband.
See as your husband, because that, you know, we have some of those. But it's really important that he sees you that way, and then you will be able to tell the way he treats you,
mm-hmm.
the way he, because
there's
it's
no
totally
question.
Different.
There is literally no question, and it sounds, until you have experienced it, it sounds like, oh, they just saying, mm-hmm. you know, it's like that when you know, it mm-hmm. sounds like, okay, that mm-hmm. sounds real good, but mm-hmm. the way that you are treated,
mm-hmm.
like being loved properly,
right.
it is like a totally different experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it will make you say, what the hell was that?
What was I doing?
What was I doing and why? Like, what was wrong with me?
But a lot of it is how you treat yourself.
Mm.
And so for me, when I was dating before, I wasn't treating myself well. They saw that I was chasing these clients and trying to be perfect for them, trying to make sure they had everything, doing all this stuff for my kids. So they were like, oh, let me jump in this. You know, let her
do some stuff for me.
Let her do it for me.
So I want to get to this husband.
Yay.
Because, well, before you got to the husband, mm-hmm. you talked about the fact that one of your challenges, mm-hmm. which I want to bring this up because I feel like it's a mm-hmm. common challenge, mm-hmm. is couldn't nobody tell you nothing.
Yeah.
You were never wrong. And I think yeah. that for successful women,
mm-hmm.
women who have been successful in any area of their lives
mm-hmm.
for a long enough period of time, we start to feel like because I've done this,
mm-hmm.
I can do I'm right about everything.
Yeah.
Nobody can tell me anything.
Absolutely.
So talk about your experience with
mm-hmm.
that and then how other women who may be exhibiting those same behaviors can stop.
Well, it's two things. For me, it was twofold. So not only was I doing really well in my career, right? And I'm a hard worker. So I knew there's a formula, right? That I know if I put a lot of hard work in, there's going to be a return on my investment.
Mm-hmm.
And it had been proven correct. But also when you go through when you go through trauma, right? I went through being married and having, you know, five bedroom house, two cars, to being almost homeless after my divorce, right? Didn't have anywhere to live, built myself back. So in that building yourself back, I remember my kids, you know, we went from the first year I was divorced, we were adopted by a family for Christmas, right?
One thing about mama, she is going to make sure that everyone else is taken care of before she even thinks about treating herself. So if you are looking for the perfect gift to make mom feel special this Mother's Day, make sure you check out the Mega Moisture Duo from Osea Malibu, because body care is self-care. Since 1996, Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused skincare. So this Mother's Day, treat mom to the everyday spa experience she deserves. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code GSPP at OseaMalibu.com. Plus, you'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and use code GSPP for 10% off.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Because I came back and I was like, my ex-husband was like, go stay with my parents. And I was like, no, I'm going to build this on my own. So we had to be adopted. And so that would be a humiliating for a lot of people. But I told them, I said, we're going to do the same thing for another family. So, and we did. So we went from a two bedroom where I used to sleep in the living room because I didn't have a bedroom, but I just knew I was going to make sure my kids were good, to at the time that the kids were graduating, we had another five-bedroom house. I had my own two cars outside, and everything was good. So that journey of, like, 32 to 38, I pulled myself up. And not only was my work doing well, but I had all this life experience of, I did it. I put my all into it, and I got my kids. We adopted families. We would do things for people for Christmas. I went from, driving a car that had a black eye to having, a luxury car and a backup car out, all that I did on my own. So sometimes God has to tell you, hold on now, little mama.
Let's reel it on.
Hold on. Because you fight so hard, and it's like, and that fight becomes your identity, yep. Right? And so when I would meet men that to date, and they were struggling alone, I'd be like, what? I have two kids, was left for dead, and I've managed to be in this beautiful home. I'm not listening to you. And even when I would hear other things, because a lot of that was, it wasn't necessarily from the fact, I knew that I was always really, really good at what I did, but it was also the fact that I was able to come from the mud. You know, I knew what it was like to cry every day, to sleep in the living room, and my kids not to have the bedroom suits that they had before, to go from that to that. So that created an arrogance and an ego that was, again, to hide that sadness, but it was, I'm not going back there. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite movies is is racially incorrect, but it was Gone with the Wind. And there's a scene where Scarlett says, as God is my witness, I'll never be hungry again. That was me. As God is my witness, I'm not going back to that. And nobody can. Before, I was married, and that's how I ended up in that situation. Now I'm in control. Crystal's in control. So mm-hmm. when Crystal's in control, you can't tell me what to do because look what I've done. So that created.
You can't tell me what to do. Ooh, you can't. That is the attitude.
And how can you tell me when you haven't done it? So, and I also have around me a very amazing, brilliant group of female friends, right? And a lot of us have the same energy because they're really hard workers, right? And so you have people that have beat statistics mm-hmm. and have been able to say, oh, I was told, I remember when I got pregnant in college, my guidance counselor said, drop out. No, I'm going to graduate. I'm going to graduate on time. I'm going to do this, this, and this. When I got divorced, go home. Go stay with my parents. No. So that creates a belief in yourself, which is good, right? But it also has the other side of that is it was very hard for anyone to tell me anything. And the people that are around me that I probably did respect weren't going to tell me because they were of the same ilk, right? So they felt like, girl, he's mm-mm. But I would always look at men that didn't have, and I would feel like, well, why would I ever listen to you? Because you haven't been able to do what I have, and you have far less obstacles to get over. Mm-hmm. And that was the wrong attitude to an extent. But me going on, Iyanla fixed my life. And I really did not expect her to, you know, I'm a publicist, so I'm like, I'm not going to do anything that puts me in a bad light. That was not my intent.
Did you have a choice?
I did. I said no at first, but then a good friend of mine was like, I think we need help. But we thought that it was help in the fact of understanding why these men weren't.
Right. You didn't think it was.
No.
She was going to get
at
on
no
you.
At no point did I think that. No. Until I got in the middle of it and it was too late.
You here now. What was your big lesson that you took away?
Ooh. First of all, I think that I'm smart enough to listen to someone that makes sense. Right? So the things that Miss Iyanla Van Zandt were saying, they were very, very raw. But it was also a woman that I respected and that I knew she wasn't lying because it was true. What she was pointing out to me was true. So I learned that the very characteristics that it took for me to create this impenetrable woman were also the things that were holding me back from finding love. And that was my big lesson. Like, okay, you did this and this got you where you needed to be. But this also created some very negative, you know, behavior that you have to fix. You cannot just get here and be like, ta-da, I'm done. Well, he gonna have to come to where I'm at. Mm-hmm. Well, no, ma'am, that's not how that works. And all this has been built out of fear and pain. So now we got to deconstruct that. Mm-hmm. Crystal's still going to be hardworking, right? Crystal's still going to be smart, but Crystal doesn't have to be afraid of being hurt. Crystal doesn't have to live in desperation and basically being afraid that she can be reduced to that broken woman that she was before.
That is a very tough thing to get over because we build up the walls mm-hmm. and then those walls keep out the very thing that we desire. Yeah. And then you meet someone who has the potential mm-hmm. to love you properly, and mm-hmm. then you still can't accept it. You still mm-hmm. can't accept them. Mm-mm. So what did it look like when you actually met your husband?
Well, I will say to that, this is very sad because I would say, like, it's unfair that you would get shot and be laying on the floor bleeding and would be responsible for getting up and cleaning up your own blood and putting yourself through rehab. But life is not fair, and that is unfortunately how it goes. So whatever you're in pain and you're hurting over, it's your job to fix yourself. Physician, heal thyself, right? And so it looked like, thank God he sent me a man that had a lot of patience and that was able to see through that, right? But I had done a lot of work on trying to realize that the things that I was holding dear were things that I was afraid of. So I had built all these things that I wanted in a partner that really had nothing to do with being loved correctly. Mm-hmm. Like, I had a very long list. And on that list were some things that made sense. And then on that list were some other things that did not make sense. And so when I met my husband now, he didn't meet some of the things that were on my list, but I was thankfully bright enough to pay attention to his actions. And his actions were, I literally did not think a man like this existed. I really didn't. And I had heard it, and I could believe it from my friends. I remember mm-hmm. seeing, you know, you know, some people, you know, different people online going through things. I could believe it for my girlfriends.
But not me.
But I just, because I've, like, you don't know what I've been through. Mm-hmm. Like, all those, all that time of fighting, it does something to your self-esteem, you know? And you, and I was, this is another thing, I was loving myself with conditions.
What does that look like?
So I would be hard on myself, really, really hard on myself if I didn't have what I wanted. So I wanted, I've always been a perfectionist, always was like that. So I was the kid in class that was angry if they got a 95. I wanted 100. I was always like that. So when I was, you know, single, I wanted to make sure that I had this for my kids. So I would work extra amount. I would put myself through things, and I would never tell myself, Crystal, you are good as you are. It was like, no, girl, you need to do this. You need to get on it. You need to look. You 20 pounds overweight. That's not acceptable. And I was hard on myself. I was mean to myself. And that did push me forward. So let's be honest. Sometimes when you're hard on yourself.
The gift and the curse.
It is the gift and the curse, but it's not good when it comes to relationships. Because if you don't know how to love yourself unconditionally with your extra pounds. I was talking to a girlfriend on the way here, and she was like, oh, I'm getting liposuction. I was like, okay, cool. But we need to know that you're beautiful as you are. When we don't know that, and then we meet a man and we expect him to know that, the right man is not going to want to be with you, because he's going to realize
that's going to be unattractive to him.
It's very unattractive. Mm-hmm. So that was a part of the work, is how do I love Crystal even if she doesn't earn this amount this year? Because me and my girlfriends are very results driven. We get together, we look at our vision boards. What is your work plan for next year? What do you, and I love it, because we push each other forward. But at some point it needs to be like, girl, even if you don't achieve that, you're still good.
So when you went to Ayala, you got yourself together, you met your husband. Mm-hmm. How did your transformation affect your friends who may not have evolved or went on Ayala?
Well, I think the beautiful part is my friends, because I'm a writer and because I, you know, I talk, I have conversations on relationships. I was a relationships editor before I was in a relationship. And I remember thinking, that's weird. And I don't want to be that person that's talking about relationships that's not in one. So what I did is I just talked about everything. I would write about things from a positive perspective. And one of my girlfriends challenged me to do that. She was like, Crystal, it's enough negativity about black love. At least when you write from this perspective. And I didn't know it to be true. I was writing what I thought were lies. but so I had an audience. So I think my audience extended outside of my immediate friend group. So when I got married, at my wedding, so many of my friends got up and told my husband, I'm not gonna get emotional, because that's what this moon was just so emotional, because so many of them told him, she deserves this so much. And I did not know that they saw me that way, right? So, I mean, guy friends and female friends were like, oh, my God, we're so happy that you came. She's so happy. We've never seen her like this. And they've seen me successful. They've seen me enjoying things. But they've never seen me in the essence of Crystal, because there's something about you when you're being loved. And I'm loved for my children and love for my friends. And there's nothing that I want to take away from that, because I have an amazing group of friends. I love my babies to death. And I have a great group of outer, you know, just my outer circle is amazing. But there's something about when a man is loving you the right way that makes you feel like a woman in a totally different way that you feel.
You're lighter.
And and they responded to that. I almost felt bad. I was like, he probably is like, what was she doing before I
got well, damn, here? What?
Because everybody was like, oh, my God, we're so glad you're here. But I think, and I've had so many people, my immediate friends and even people I talk to online, say, I believe, I love seeing what you, because they saw me. They saw it. Unfortunately, the world saw it on Ayala.
But look at the other side. If they see that episode and then they come Googling you, it's like, oh, she got her shit together. And look at her now.
She did. I'm going to say this. Let's not say she has her shit together. Let's say she's working on
her it.
She's working on her shit, because my husband still tells me. That's one of the things we still go back and forth about. And you have to learn. If I could tell women anything being single, I understand work is important, because we have got to get, you know, social media has convinced us that the most important thing in life is getting the bag and being snatched. So it's contour and couture, right? But if you don't work on loving yourself and finding out who you are outside of that, it's going to be very difficult. Even when God does send an amazing man, because you're not going to know how to receive it. And just to be loved is so, and that is, it sounds cliche, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. It's not easy.
It is not
easy. It's not easy. I talked to Coach LaTanya. I talked to another one of my mentors, Ms. D, Dr. Jerry. God, I talked to all these women that are married and understand, and they're telling me, Crystal, there's still so much work to do. But the beautiful thing is, I recognized this man because of the work I had done. I recognized, wait a minute, this may not fit the exact profile, but I've never been treated like this. And then understand that you deserve it, right? And
not
then
running away from
not running
it.
Away from it, even when it's easier to run, and having to adjust. So many women are like, well, he has to do. No. The very idea of being a wife means that your job is to make that man better and serve him. His job is to make you better and to protect and serve you. But so many of my friends and so many women I see online are looking for a man that can do for them. And I know, like, well, you're not ready. Because if you're ready, then you know that marriage is about sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And so what are you willing to do for the right man?
How will you serve?
How will you serve? Marriage? That is not the conversation that we see on social media.
At all.
How can he bring the money to me?
That's because those are all single people having those conversations.
They
That's
are.
Why. Because the married
stay
people,
single.
We and they're going to stay single. Married
stay
people
single.
Know the sacrifice that marriage takes, mm-hmm. and that even if you have the partner for you,
right.
it is still work.
Oh, it's still work. It is still work. It is always going to be work, but it is work that is well worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you find a man, and you know, I think, you know, our gut as women, we were given a gut instinct. I feel like it's God's way of whispering to us. Mm-hmm. We ignore it.
Yep.
But so when that fool was telling me that I needed to be the workhorse like his mom, I remember the older I got, I was like, I know, I recognize things. Even there were I dated some great guys. They just weren't the guys for me.
Mm-hmm.
And because I started to be able to be in tune with that, with Crystal. Once I started to love Crystal, she started to speak to me in a different way. Because before, she was just chasing. Stop chasing and allow things to come to you. And this, my husband, when we met, he told me, just take my hand and let me lead you around the obstacles of life. And I was just like, who is he talking to? I did not need you to lead me. Look what I have amassed, right?
Look what I've led myself to.
But... And he was patient. I remember being just difficult. It was just difficult. But he saw that. And now I see different things. He gave me a different perspective. It's not all about how much money you earn. It really is about the quality of life and what you're enjoying. And his perspective is so different. Mm-hmm. And I think I've been able to give him different perspective as well. But it is really about serving. And I hope that my goal and my purpose, Ayala told me this. She said, this is not for you. This is for the women that you will be able to help. And that's why after I went through all that, I wrote the book. Because I was
yes.
like, I have to, because this is not for me.
So we got to talk about the book, though.
Yes.
Because and part one and part two,
mm-hmm,
right? So
mm-hmm.
Part one, Dear Alpha Female, it's not him, it's
not
you.
It's not him, it's you.
What is the, just a couple of things, because we've
yeah.
talked about, you know, being so successful that can't nobody tell you nothing,
mm-hmm.
being afraid, so
mm-hmm.
you put up the walls.
Yeah.
What are some other common mm-hmm. is you things that women are doing?
Let me share with you. So happy you asked. So a lot of times what we do is this. We see a guy that we like, right? And he has all the bells and whistles that say no,
mm-hmm.
but we are attracted to it either because he has the financial portfolio that we think is a good fit for us, or he may have the look. He may be fine and you just be like, or he may be able to do some things to you that make your body say yes, right? And praise God for all of those things.
They all count, yes.
They all count. But you are ignoring the other bells and whistles because of that. So a lot of times you're the smart, beautiful sister that you are will try this with him. I'm going to give him a chance. There's nothing that this man has done outside of make your body sing, which is important, but not the only thing. But there's nothing that he has done to show you that he sees you as a wife. And you give him a chance. And then when it doesn't work, I'm done. Forget it. Men are all bad, and you want to argue, you know, go online, talk bad about men, but you chose that man. You knew deep down inside, you knew that wasn't right, and you used that as a defense and a block. And the right man doesn't have a chance now, mm-hmm. because you made that choice, sis. So in the book we talk about, you know, I've talked to girlfriends, we're just going to be honest. That man is married. Mm. Okay? He's separated, but he's married. That's not your husband. But you can give me 8 million reasons, and that's fine. But then when that doesn't work, you're going to use that pain and say, well, this is what was done to me. I was hurt. Well, you hurt yourself.
Yep.
You hurt yourself.
The lack of accountability.
So you must, if you're talking about, we want to talk, because women love to dig into, well, this happened to me, and I didn't deserve it, and da, da, da. But God gave you a beautiful brain that you're able to use to achieve. Because I see some of the women that I relate to that are in our circle of high-achieving women that are able to, you're brilliant. But when it comes to making decisions with men, you act like you didn't know. You knew. And if you didn't know, then you weren't in touch with yourself.
Yes.
Because you weren't listening. Mm-hmm. So when we're using those examples of men that we had no business being with anyway, and you use that as a reason that you're not giving someone else a chance, sis, that is you. So that's just one of the examples, because that's one of the things that we do a lot. We love to make the wrong decision and then use that as ammunition against the next guy.
Yep.
But that is all on, and I've been there.
We all have been there, which is why there's no denying it. It's like we've all made bad decisions.
Ask me how I know, because I did it.
Because we've all done it.
Wasting years.
And it's a journey.
Wasting time.
So the first book, people were a little, not that they were upset, but people don't want to be told that it's you. You are the problem.
Yes.
So as a solution to the first book, there is a second.
I have a second book that's coming out this summer. But when I realized the response for women, I do feel like I need to double down in a way. I want people to get the message, which is why we're doing another edition of it. But the reality is, when I went on Ayala, I was in tears. That episode, she told one of the girls was me and three other colleagues, and she was like, "Well, this is what happens to me." And she said, "Well, if dogs keep ending up at your door, then you need to up the wattage on your light. Maybe what is it about your light that's dim that's attracting all these dogs?" We were in. She didn't take it easy on us, right?
She was not playing with us.
And that's why I believe that women, at least the alpha women, women that are leaders, and I know people hate that term, but it's just about a woman that has leadership qualities, right? Iron sharpens iron. One of my favorite quotes. It's not a pretty process. Nothing becomes beautiful or valuable from just petting it and placating it. Mm-hmm. No. If I'm doing something wrong, Corey, I'll say, Crystal, no, come here. No, wait a minute.
That ain't gonna work.
You stop me, right? And that's not about, okay. Because guess what? When you're in the boardroom, you have to speak with authority, right? Because you're able to speak with authority is how you're able to get promoted. You speak with authority on your platform. You can't get on there and I don't know really how I'm thinking. Girl, ain't nobody listening to that. Mm-hmm. So I think that it may be uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable for me, but that's what I needed. The people that were giving me, oh, Crystal, you're amazing, they weren't helping me.
Yep.
They were not helping me. So, yes, I have another edition coming out, but I think that the interesting thing in this book is this Dear Alpha Female, It's Not Him, It's You. And I meant that, and I mean that still. But it's an interactive devotional designed to help you attract the love that you deserve. And nobody picks up on the fact that I'm saying you deserve love. The fact that you have been in leadership positions and you have these things and you're still struggling when it comes to relationships doesn't mean that you're not worthy. It means that you just have some more work to do. Mm-hmm. And you're fine with work because you have
your working ass. You can do this work too, sis.
You got the degrees. You got the positions. You're okay with work, but you can't assume that you can work over here and not work over here.
Crystal, you know that was literally my whole message with the Single Wives Club. It mm-hmm. was... What is the work on yourself mm-hmm. to get what you want? But mm-hmm. I was met with so much.
Yeah.
I'm not about to do nothing for no man. Or why would I want? It's like, it's for you.
It's for you.
It's for you. And to your point, the same tenacity that mm-hmm. we pursue these degrees and mm-hmm. these careers, and mm-hmm. we will take a class and hire a coach and mm-hmm. do all of the things. But mm-hmm. when it comes to your relationship, you think he's going to fall out the sky and just fall in your lap and then he's supposed to off your feet.
He's supposed to just deny everything else but your non-emotionally mature behind.
Take you as you are.
And just take you as you are. And you don't know how to speak to him. You don't know. I very rarely hear, especially on social media, which is why I'm so glad you're doing what you're doing. I rarely hear women speaking about, what accountability do you have to a relationship, mm-hmm. right? None. All we want to talk about is what he's supposed to do. And that's why I can understand why there is a backlash from men to an extent, right? But at the end of the day, we need to be figuring out how can we love each other? Mm-hmm. How can we love ourselves first? Because you can't be empty and be a good partner. But if you're willing to go under a knife to make yourself look beautiful on the outside, why are you not willing? Why is it such a...
Why they beating down your door because you just want them to read a book?
I just want you to do some internal work, you know, but it's easy to put on the makeup and to go get all these things because it doesn't take you acknowledging that there may be something going on with you. And I think a lot of us feel like we feel undeserving inside and we don't want to tap. We don't want to look at that, right? Because you grew up thinking that maybe you didn't. Maybe. And so you learn to get all these things to prove people wrong, but you haven't proven yourself wrong yet. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. Mm-hmm. So you've got to go back and do that work.
And it's self-work. This is the other thing, too, because people have a problem with therapy. People are above people telling them, you can't tell me nothing. Mm-hmm. Tell yourself. Sis, do your, buy the book and do your own work. It could be between you and the Lord.
Right.
But do the work. It's worth it.
And you know what? The funny thing is, most of your girlfriends, I know, I remember I had four girlfriends. We would go to dinner. And I invited one of my guy friends to dinner with us. And he was like, you all are exhausting. And we know that because we're like, well, where are we going to go for dinner? Well, I don't want to go here. Well, I don't, because we're all women that are in leadership. And you, your girlfriends know you're annoying. They don't want to marry you. You don't want to marry them. And it's because all of y'all need to do some work. It was too, and I love the fact that we work well together. But at some point, so I just tried to say, you know what, with my girlfriends, I just want to, y'all already got the work down. You got that part. Let me just ask you how you are. Mm-hmm. Let me just talk about something else. Let's just focus on, so when you come to Crystal, it will be more about what are you doing for you? Because you got all the girlfriends that are going to be like, let's talk about the work plan. I was one of those girls. But it's like I knew if somebody were to ask me, some of my guy friends say, is this girlfriend still single? Yep.
You know that, though. We know that about our friends, but we don't tell them.
I tell them. Well, but now I do because I didn't know before. But I tell them, and they know.
How do they receive it?
They honestly, because, I mean, these are my close friends. They know, and they know that I'm telling. They know that I'm living.
And you're telling them in love.
And they know that I'm still struggling. You know, I did not learn to not have the I still sometimes have the laptop in the bed. But my husband was like, this isn't going to work. You need to cut this. Where are the boundaries for work? And every girlfriend I have doesn't have boundaries for work.
I literally told my husband 3 days ago that I've been treating my marriage like a side chick. And I've decided that my marriage is going to be my business. That's what y'all need. That's it right there. Yeah, that's it. Because even if you meet the man, it's not going to just magically, you're going to just throw your laptop and close down your business. You're not going to do that.
I'm struggling.
It's a constant struggle.
And I think that hit me kind of hard, Coriel, because I probably, if my husband sees this, he's going to be all in my face. I don't want him in my face.
Leave us alone. But we're trying.
But I'm trying. I'm working on it. He knows I'm working on it. But that's true. And I think if you have to get in that mindset, it's like when you go to college, right? And you go back to work on your advanced degrees, you get in the mindset of, no, I'm getting ready to start this master's program. So I got to, you know, I know I'm going to have to be on it. Mm-hmm. If you really want a relationship, and I hate that we have to talk about it like this, but this is what we understand.
This is what we get. Yeah.
I understand. I was like, well, I want a return on my investment. Well, you can't get a return on your investment if you're not willing to sacrifice. Every return on investment comes with sacrifice. You
got to give up something.
And so if you really want a loving relationship, you have to be willing to sacrifice. And you have to be willing to consider that what has worked for you has to change. I had a guy friend tell me, when you get married, that means that you are willing to change and make. And a lot of women just want to add the man on the side.
And you just come along and get with my program.
I'm already doing this. And I want him to look a certain way and earn a certain thing. And I just add him to the mix. Mm-hmm. Well, nobody wants to be treated like that or looked at like that. So he's going to go find somebody that's going to make him
feel needed and feel like he has a place to fit in. I think that's some great advice for single women, too, is creating space.
Yep.
And it could be physical space, you know, clearing out a drawer mm-hmm. for this man that you're mm-hmm. manifesting, or actually carving out time where you say, these are my boundaries. Mm-hmm. Practice closing your laptop now. So that
practice
when you
it
meet
now,
the
so
man,
you're not like us and having a hard
face.
Time.
Please.
I'm still having a hard time.
It's a struggle.
It is. Getting off the, not taking work calls after a certain time. But see, those are boundaries that Crystal didn't set for Crystal. And I'm telling you what, with every guy I dated in the past, it was unattractive. I just mm-hmm. didn't know it. Mm-hmm. I mm-hmm. thought they were intimidated by my success. No. They didn't care about it. They just wanted to talk to me. And because I wasn't available, they found someone that was. I remember I told a guy, he asked me to take me out. And I looked at my calendar and I was like, I don't have any opening for 2 weeks. And my single guy friend was like, Crystal. But I didn't. I was like, I'm traveling. But and they were like,
that ain't how this works.
I want to date you?
Yeah.
It's not intimidation.
I think so many women are going to hear what you're saying right now and be like, oh. Send this to a friend. You know which friend. You know which friend to send this to. Just send mm-hmm. it to a girl. I saw this episode. Don't tell her why. Just tell her to tap in. This woman on there, she had this great story. Send it. Wink, wink. Please look in this camera right here, though, mm-hmm. and tell them, where can they order their friend a copy of this book?
Yes, get one for you and your friend. Because if that's your friend, usually birds of a feather flock together. So I know for me it did. And actually, one of my best friends wrote the foreword, Chili from TLC, and she wrote the foreword. She and I both are in beautiful relationships after both being single for a very long time. But you can go to Amazon.com, you can go to Barnes & Noble, you can go to Walmart, any place, you can go to my website, you can go to DearAlphaFemale.com, you can go to The Real Crystal Jordan. But, you know, get the book, and I promise you, there's information here that you'll be able to relate to. We talk about how the alpha personality, for most of us that are overachievers, it was created when we were little, right? I was a straight A student that always had to be on the honor roll, always had to do this, always breaking statistics. It's a beautiful thing. It's like black girl magic, but what's on the other side of that magic, right? On the other side of that magic. And so please get this book. It really is. It's time for us to allow the overachieving little girls inside of us to relax. We owe her thanks for carrying us thus far, but it's time for her to exhale. It's time for her to let go of her fear. It's time for her to be loved unconditionally, and it's time for her to grow. This is my love letter to all my alpha sisters.
So if you want marriage on the other side of that black girl magic, log on DearAlphaFemale.com. Check out my girl Crystal, and I will catch y'all on the next episode. So if you made it this far, I just know you loved that episode. Well, what you did not know is that we recorded it right here in ATL at Elevate Studios. Yes, your girl has her own studio, y'all, and it's not just for me. I'm opening it up for you too. So if you have a podcast, if you are a vlogger, a YouTuber, or a content creator, and you are looking for a professional studio to record your content, or you want to hire me and my team to fully produce your content, make sure you check out the show notes below or log on to elevateagency.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.